I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 18. And I don't want to focus a lot on this passage, but just as a foundational passage. And I trust that all of you got a copy of the handout there. I usually keep one in front of me as well, because if I don't, sometimes I don't remember which lines I didn't fill them in for you. You know, that's not very nice, is it? But you get a little homework as we go along there. And I find that it's helpful just to have something to put in your hand and be able to just follow along and fill in those. But I tell the church family there at Clinton, if you want to fill in the blanks, please do so. If you don't want to, that's fine as well. Usually the ladies do, because they write a lot more legible than us men most of the time. Do that if you would like, and it might be of help to you to remember and a help maybe later on to share with others or whatever. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, let me take just a moment and read the first 8 verses, all right? It says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose, and he went for his life. And he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey unto the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he took, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God." Dear Lord, this morning, we do thank you, Lord, for this privilege to be together, to share together. Lord, you know what we need to hear in our minds and hearts that would strengthen our resolve for this whole subject of missions and for the great privilege of sharing the gospel, not only here at home, but the regions beyond, and having a part in that. Speak to us according to our need, we pray, and we'll thank you in Jesus' dear name. Amen. So then, as you can see by your handout there, the title of our thoughts this morning is Ministering to God's Servants, Our Missionaries. And this, I think, is very helpful for us to just consider for this class time together. How can we more effectively minister to our missionaries? And I get asked that question a lot, and maybe you do as well. People sincerely want to know how we can effectively minister to those that we share with financially and in prayer, those who are laboring on the field. And so, actually, I think when the pastor wrote me the note, it was just a little bit of instruction there as what we might do in the different sessions, which I appreciated that very much. I think the first one in this session, really, he suggested that maybe we could focus on what would the missionaries want to tell the church, which they won't, right? Because missionaries probably, and I've been on the mission field, and I kind of can identify with both sides. As being a pastor and a member of a church here, and being a missionary on the field. And I know that there are a lot of things that missionaries would love to be able to just get up in front of their supporting churches and suggest to the churches or share with them how they can more effectively minister to them. But obviously, they're not going to do that, are they? That just wouldn't be, it would be a little seedy for them to do that. It wouldn't seem ethical for them to do that. But yet, there are things that we need to know. And so I can say it's a privilege, and I appreciated the pastor just making that kind of suggestion to me that maybe we could cover some things that would be of help there. And so this time together, this study really deals with what missionaries would like to share with you that they would find very encouraging, but probably would never do that. So let's just see what the Lord gives us here this morning. And like I say, fill in the blanks if you like. I'll try to emphasize the different words that go in those blanks there as we move along. But there are two very important things. You see that, I think, in your notes. There are two very important things for us to consider when thinking of ministering to God's servants, our missionaries. Why and how? Why should we try to minister to them? They come to our churches to minister to us, and we recognize that. But oftentimes, and I'm sure that you folk do the same thing, and I thought of this earlier when I was preparing, anything I say to you or bring to your attention, by doing that, I'm not suggesting that you don't already do it. I'm not suggesting that you've never heard this before, or you just probably don't do this and need to do it or whatever. That's not my mindset at all. But there may be some things that you were not aware of, and we learn from one another, do we not? When I go to conferences and so forth, I've learned so much from other churches and how they handle things, what they do. And sometimes it's just a matter of bringing us to remembrance of things that we need to remember to do to be of help. So I want to consider with you then the why and the how of ministering to God's servants, our missionaries. Number one then, why must we encourage and minister to our missionaries? Why must we do that? Well, first of all, because God's greatest servants go through times of deep discouragement. We don't often think of that. Perhaps, we hear the missionaries come home from the field, they're excited about the mission field, they tell all the bright spots and all the good things, and this is what's happening, and how we love the people, and God has been so good, and we hear all the positive things, and I think that's good. I mean, we don't want missionaries coming into our church and, belly aching about their ministry and crying on our shoulder and so forth. You know what I'm saying. But on the other hand, we need to recognize that we need to be an encouragement to them when they come to our churches. When they come, when missionaries come to my church and your church, we should have the mindset, Lord, help us as a missionary family to minister to these missionaries, to minister to them, because missionaries go through times of great discouragement. You read the history of Spurgeon and Luther and here Elijah's why I read this particular passage, because it mentions twice that he went and sat out under a juniper tree. Every servant of the Lord, sooner or later, will have a juniper tree in his life. And if he says he doesn't, don't believe him, right? Because everyone who serves the Lord will have perhaps more than one juniper tree in his life. But Spurgeon and Luther, I remember the story, I believe it was Luther, and you probably have all heard this, but Luther, great reformer, greatly used of the Lord, but he became very, very discouraged, very discouraged. His wife one morning came down from the bedroom upstairs, and she was all dressed in black. You heard about that? You've all heard about that, right? She was all dressed in black. So Luther looked at her and said, "Well, honey, what's wrong with you? Why are you dressed like that?" Well, she said, "Haven't you heard?" He said, "No, haven't I heard what?" She said, "Well, you haven't heard? God is dead." He said, "God is dead?" He said, how could you say such a, that's a terrible thing to say. How could you say that? Well, she said, "I know he must be because the way you've been the last while, just defeated, just discouraged and so forth. Wow, did that ever snap him to his feet?" So that was good, wasn't it? That was good. So you ladies might have to try that sometime. But anyway, God's greatest servants can become discouraged. We see that in Elijah's life. And every servant of the Lord, sooner or later, will have a juniper tree in his life. and you don't know, dear friends, when that missionary comes to your church, he may put his best foot forward, he may make everything look glorious and great, but look, just take it for granted, he's got some burdens in his life. He may have things he's trying to deal with in his own walk with the Lord. He may be going through times of great discouragement in his ministry. And just love them, minister to their needs, try to encourage them. The second, the only two things here, the second reason why I think we need to really, why we need to encourage our missionaries when we have that opportunity, not just personally, but even through correspondence and so forth, is because God has given to each of his children both the ministry and the responsibility of encouragement. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's just go, I haven't written the verses, just the chapter and verse in your notes, but I want to take a few moments as the time allows us to help us to see these verses. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1 through 8, really we see here and many other passages in the Bible where God shows us that we have a ministry to one another. We have a ministry, not just a ministry, but a responsibility. You and I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to me to encourage me. I have that responsibility to you, and that is a ministry. Don't ever say you don't have a ministry. You know, there are ministries in churches. We call them committees or programs or whatever, but they're really ministries. And sometimes if we're not on a committee or have a particular ministry, we think, well, I don't have any ministry. Look, that could not be further from the truth. You have a ministry, many ministries, actually. But one of the most important ones is encouragement one to the other, and especially to God's servants, our missionaries that we're talking about this morning. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and especially verse 1 to 8, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, or encouragement, right? Who comforteth us or encourages us in all our tribulation, in all our troubles, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our comfort or our consolation or our encouragement also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your comfort or consolation or encouragement and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. And so this is one of the great servants of the Lord. And he had some juniper trees, didn't he, in his life. And everybody does. And so Paul is emphasizing here that we have this wonderful ministry of comforting and consoling and encouraging one another. Because we are participants, we are recipients of that. And you know, dear friends, the Lord lets us go through troubled times and difficult times for a reason. One of those great reasons is so you can encourage someone else because you know what they're going through. You know, isn't it true that when you're going through a time of discouragement and difficulty and problem and trouble, the last person that you're going to look for is someone who never's been through anything? Oh, yeah, you don't want to find somebody like that, you know. Now, there isn't anyone like that. But sometimes people like to give that impression. Who are you going to look for? You're going to look for someone that you know has been through some struggles, and they found victory, and they found God to be sufficient. And that's why the Lord prepares us through these troubles that we go through. So You know, dear friends, God is a lot more interested in our ministering to one another, in our serving him through serving one another, than he is through your comforts and my comforts. Oh, I hate to say that to you. Because, you know, we'd all like to think that the first thing God wants for me is for me to be comfortable and for me to have everything go well. That's number one with God. That isn't number one with God. Number one with God is sharpen you and equip you and enable you to minister to others. And you and I have to go through some problems ourselves in order to do that. So that's point number one. Why must we encourage and minister to our missionaries? So those two things, a lot of other things could be added as well. And but I'll give you at least some helpful things, I trust a few, as we go through this. The second part, how may we encourage and minister to our missionaries? How should we do it? Two things. First of all, by direct encouragement. By direct encouragement. And again, let me say, you folk here might be really sharp at this. You might do all of these things. And I it would be wonderful if you do. But we can all do better, can't we? You know, just when we think we've arrived at the station, we all of a sudden realize that we've just found the tracks. Isn't that true in our lives? When we think we've arrived at the station, well, we probably have just found the tracks. And so we can learn, and we can do better, and we can be more determined. Okay, Lord, thank you for teaching me this, showing me this. Thank you for bringing this to my attention today. So by direct encouragement, what do we mean by that? Number one, show genuine interest. You know, you folk could probably take this little outline. You could fill in all those blanks before I even get to them. Please don't do that. It, you know, makes me feel useless, okay? Because they're simple things. They're just simple things that we really all know. But let's be reminded of them. And I've chosen these things for a reason. There's been something in each case that has prompted me, either my personal experience or talking with other missionaries. These things came to my mind and my heart. And we had our missionary conference just a short while ago, in April, actually, 11th to the 15th. We had a group of missionaries there. And one of the things I did each time that they come, when we have our conference, I like to take the opportunity. My wife prepares a meal at the house, and we invite just the missionaries without their kids. Because, you know, we live in a mobile home, and it's just not room for a lot of people. But we have sometimes three couples, four couples. Sometimes we've had five couples. But we invite just the missionaries to our house for a meal during the conference. And then after, I always count it a real privilege just to preach at them. Not really, but because you feel like you're preaching to the choir, you know what I mean? But just share something with them that I have learned. It's been a help to me that I would think would be an encouragement to them. And so I asked them I passed them out a slip this last conference, passed them out a slip, and I said, look, just write on this slip. Don't put your name on or anything. Just write on this slip, because I said, because I've been invited to speak up to Corinth and on this subject, and some of these subjects, and I'd like your help. So I can't take credit usually I can't take credit for anything I give because I've learned it from someone else, right? And somebody wisely said, they said, you know, the best thing about being original, the art of originality is just simply forgetting where you learned it from, you know. So people with the shortest memory are the most original, right? You forget where you learned it from. But anyway, I had the missionaries write down this little slip of paper, then give it to me after. One thing that you would really, really love to have your supporting churches do for you, or do, whatever it is, that you wouldn't maybe dare say to them, but one thing. And I believe that this was mentioned maybe more than one time. So they gave some good things, but I wanted to pass this on to you, though it sounds like such a simple thing. Show genuine interest in what is happening in their lives and ministries. You know, dear friends, it's incredible, but missionaries go to the mission field. We pay them, we support them, we give them money so they can go to the mission field, and accomplish a work for God. And then many times they come home and missionaries say, you know, one of the things that really bothers us a lot of times, we come home and go to our supporting churches, and they're not the least bit interested really what's happening in our ministries. They're just not interested. They want to talk about themselves. They want to talk about their families, which is all good. They want to talk about what they're doing, maybe their hurts and heartaches and so forth. They want to talk about everything, but many times our supporting churches are not really that interested. They support us financially. Why are they not interested? And I would say, dear friends, that's probably not the case here. But good to be reminded, isn't it? Good to know what missionaries are thinking, even though it might hurt a little bit. But it's good to know what they're thinking. Show genuine interest in what is happening in their lives and their ministries. We need to talk to them about their ministries and find out what is going on with them. They will appreciate it. Colossians chapter 4. Again, let's just look at these verses here. In Colossians chapter 4, 7, 8, and 9. Verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, All my state, shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all the things which are done here. You see, Paul says, I'm going to send these guys along, and I know something about you in the church at Colossae. I know something about you. You folk are really interested in what's happening in our ministry. So I'm going to be sure that they're up to date and they know what's happening, because when they come, they're going to want to know and they're going to ask you. Well, isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every missionary came to Clinton Baptist Church or to Corinth Church, if they came and told people, we're going to Corinth, we'll be there next Sunday or next week or next month for that conference, and they support us there. And you know what? We're anxious to go there because they're interested in our ministry. They're really interested. Nothing will thrill the heart of a missionary any more than that, or encourage them directly. And some suggestions there that I put down. Read their prayer letters to be informed. Read their prayer letters. Just go through them, highlight them, or whatever, so that you're informed. Include prayer letters as an insert in your church bulletin. It seems like I saw an insert in your bulletin there. And it's wonderful to do that. Then everybody gets it. Everybody gets it. And then thirdly, highlight one missionary a week in prayer meeting. We just started doing that, actually. Find it a real blessing. My son, my assistant pastor now, and he started that. I don't know where he picked it up, but every Wednesday night we have he has four men who the missionaries are divided between those four men to be responsible for, and to highlight them. Every Wednesday night we have one of those men. They rotate, and they will choose one of the missionaries out of their group that they're responsible for, and they'll highlight that missionary. They only take like a couple of minutes, just a couple of minutes. And we specify that, just highlight them, that's all. They come, and they may have had some information they put on the overhead, a way you can see it, and they share some immediate prayer requests of that particular missionary, and then they pray for them, just have a word of prayer, and next Wednesday, different missionary. And it has been a help, really. And so just a suggestion. And then number two, not only show genuine interest, but number two, give them major time in the service to present their work. Oh, I have to be careful because I so easily show my carnality. Probably your pastor doesn't have that problem, you know, but I can show my carnality. It really upsets me when missionaries come and we get to talking, and they don't come and criticize other churches or anything, but they will say, well, you know, in a church we were recently or whatever, or they may say what church it is if it was out of state or whatever. They say, you know, we were there Sunday, but we were a little disappointed. They said to the pastor, well, how much time you want us to take? And say, well, you know, 5-10 minutes maybe. And it's like they're saying, look, show us some slides. and tell us about your work, and if you, you know, 5 minutes, be okay at 10. You know, I say, what is wrong with us as pastors? You know, what is wrong with us as church people? If we want to know about our missionaries, when they come, give them major time in the service to present their work, and that communicates to them, these people really want to know. They want to know. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, missionaries are missionaries, but they're not really that great of preachers. Well, some aren't. I mean, I've had hundreds and hundreds of missionaries over the years in my church, and so have you here. And it's true, some of them are not the most eloquent speakers and not the greatest preachers. But listen, most all of them are very adequate speakers. And even the ones that don't find themselves to be great preachers share God's word, and they share what can be a great blessing to us. And so give them an opportunity to share a devotional, to present their work adequately. And that's a complaint that, I say complaint, that's a negative word. Like one lady said after she'd been complaining a while, she said, I'm not really complaining, I'm just reporting. You know, so that's good. But listen, that is a major thing. Give them some major time in the service to present their work. Number three, help provide for their major expense needs while they are at home on furlough, such as housing, transportation, clothing, and so forth. Just, you know, all of us, look, dear friends, we live in America. We live in an affluent society. This, you know, I couldn't help but think as I drove up here today, I wouldn't have blamed Pastor Linville and Mary Jean if they'd have just taken this church just because it's so beautiful here. Well, I mean, they never would do that, but you know what I mean. What pastor that is candidating somewhere wouldn't be impressed when you drive up these beautiful farms and fields and the green and just the area, the town? It's a beautiful place. Corinth is a beautiful place. You're thinking, oh, is that right? Well, look around, right? You know, when you live in an area, in a place, a while, you kind of take it all for granted. But it is a beautiful, beautiful place. And 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, when we're saying, do whatever you can to help missionaries when they come home on furlough with their major expenses. You know, this is one thing that I'm sure that missionaries would love. Matter of fact, I think this is one of the things that was written down on the little slips that I had them fill out. I think this is one of the things that are written down. Look, maybe churches, our supporting churches, could be helpful with some of these major needs that we have when we come home. You know, because missionaries are home just for a short while now. They don't usually come home for a year anymore, a few months. Maybe because of schooling of their kids on the field, or there's nobody to take their ministry there, so they can't really leave it very long. And so just think about it. They come home, in that few months, they have to live someplace. They have to have a house. They have to have some place to live. They have to have an automobile, two major things. And many times, you know, missionaries come home and they're on the field. They may be in a place where they don't even have to wear suits and ties and so forth. It's just not the way that there are places where you know, hot climates and so forth, that would be totally out of place. And so a lot of times they come home and at minimal they may look a little seedy, you know, because they've dug out of the barrel or a missionary barrel someplace, some suit, you know, that the sleeves are about up there or whatever. But you know what I'm saying. Just be sensitive to that. Do whatever you can to provide housing and transportation. Make a sacrifice, whatever you have to do. Say, look, we can help you with that. We have vehicles here that are not being used, or whatever the case may be. There's so much availability. Are you amazed at living in America, how it is? I mean, look, it's just, it is astounding how much you can enjoy and how easy it is to do things, and how simple life really can be, and transactions and so forth. And you may be saying, well, boy, where has he been all his life? Well, look, you've all probably been to other countries, and you stand in line for hours to get anything done. And then when you get there, you find that what you have is not what they're asking for anymore. And to buy an automobile or to get a rent is just the, you know. But here we have so much. just make a sacrifice, whatever you have to do. But just one way you can be such an encouragement is to help provide for their major expense and their needs while they are at home on furlough. And I've just put down housing and transportation, clothing, things of that nature, just as a few suggestions. Number four, I don't know how my, I guess that's how my outline is done here for you, isn't it? Number four, each family, here's a suggestion I think that would be very good. Each family, adopt a missionary family and make them your personal responsibility. Now I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. This has been one of the most challenging verses for me. Let me begin at verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with love, with charity. I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you. Now listen to this carefully. I beseech you, Paul says, that ye know the house of Stephanas. Know the house of Stephanas. Pay attention to the family of Stephanas. That it is the first fruit, or they are the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have, you know, every Christian should be an addict. We hear a lot about addiction, don't we? Well, it's a good thing. There's a good addiction that Christians should have. The house of Stephanas, Paul says, watch them, look at them, see what they do. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Do you know what that word addiction really means there? It really means that they have positioned themselves financially, their home, the things that they have. They have positioned themselves. They have purposefully, intentionally positioned themselves so to be able to minister to the saints. You know, ministering to the saints should not be just a, oh, wow, okay, yeah, maybe we can do something about that. Wow, I wish we'd thought of that ahead of time. You know, well, this is ahead of time, right? This is a time to just think on these things and have this mindset that the believers at the house of Stephanas had. They had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And you know what? The kids knew that. The kids in the family, the children knew that. The children knew that when missionaries came, they may not have been able to afford the house of Stephanas. Maybe they couldn't afford a large house with like my son just bought a house in Canaan. Boy, it was. He asked me to go look at it to kind of see what I thought. And when I went back and looked at it, I said, son, let me tell you something. I think you deserve something better than that. I wouldn't buy that. I wouldn't take it if they gave it to me. It's a dump. Boy, wish I hadn't said that. That's why they live today. But different people have different visions, right? And he wanted to buy something he could afford. And his oldest son is an expert carpenter. And so he realized that he could hire his son, borrow money to renovate, which they did. They gutted it out, everything new, everything. The plumbing, the heat, the sheetrock, the insulation, the electric, everything they put in new. They're not ones that like a lot of luxury and expensive stuff. They did it. It's basic, but it's really beautiful. It's very functional. And now they're trying to get the outside done. But has 15 rooms and 3 bathrooms. You say, what a couple of people. No, they have 8 boys. They have 8 boys. And they're big boys. And mother, because she has the idea like a lot of you mothers do, my boys are all going to get married, they're all going to come live with us, you know. So, oh, heaven forbid, right? That's not the way it happens. But anyway, they wanted a big house to accommodate. But you know, one thing that, and I wouldn't say this if my son or any of my 8 grandsons were here, but I'll tell you something. Their whole purpose is to minister to God's people. Just to have people in and have a place for them to sleep. And, you know, their beds aren't the greatest. They didn't have all new furniture and stuff. But they're happy with just having everything functional and nice so that people can be comfortable. And they've been a testimony to Joanne and me about that. And And I would say that Mark would fit into that. Addicted himself, and Tammy as well. She's a character. She's a lot. Well, eight boys, you'd have to have some life and vitality, at least for a few years. And this is an important thing. Addict yourself to the ministry of our believers, of God's people. So the house of Stephanus, they positioned themselves, and so that they may not have had the house of Stephanus 15 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms, probably didn't. But I believe that the kids in that family, however many there might have been, they realized that when God's servants came, they had to sleep on the floor. I mean, not the servants, but the children. And I believe they taught their kids, when God's servants come, we give them the best that we have. We provide for them. And you kids may have to sleep in the shed, or you may have to sleep under my bed or someplace. But be willing. You know, sad to say, I have people, and I'm not criticizing anybody in my church family, but we have people, sometimes missionaries and families come with 4, 5, 6 children, and we want them to bring their children with them. But sometimes it's hard to get somebody in the church that will take a family with 4, 5, or 6 children for 2, 3 nights during the conference. But yet we have families in our church that have beautiful homes. They have everything in their home. I mean, you could eat off the floor. Homes that just wonderful. God has blessed them. But sometimes it's almost impossible to get some of those families that have the most to offer. They need to read that passage, you know, to addict themselves to the servants of the Lord, to ministering to them. You know, it doesn't matter. They say, well, what will we feed them? It doesn't matter what you feed them. It doesn't make any difference. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Because you know what? Long after they've gone away, they'll not remember what you feed them. If you feed them filet mignon, how do you pronounce that anyway? I have a friend of mine that says, give me a little of that filet mignon, he says. It won't matter whether you give them that or whether you give them peanut butter and jelly sandwich. They'll long forget that, but they'll remember that you provided a place for them to sleep and you were addicted to ministering to them. Oh, how needful that is. And so then number five, well, let's repeat number 4. Each family adopt a missionary family and make them your personal responsibility. For example, care packages. To the field, if you want to send them a care package, gift cards when they're at home, good things to do for missionaries. And just keep those things in mind. Very helpful. If you're going to send a care package, I'm sure you know all of these things because you've done this, I'm sure. But be sure and check with the missionaries ahead of time, see what that means on the other end. Because sometimes you send them a care package, they have to travel 100 miles to the customs to pick it up, and it may be a couple of packages of Kool-Aid. You know, I'm being facetious, I know. But be sure that you understand where that's going to land, how they're going to get it. And sometimes they have to pay a lot to get a package out of customs. Sometimes they pay 3, 4 times as much as what the package is worth. But check with them first. And usually there are ways to get care packages to missionaries. But be sure and check. Find out what the system is. And number 5, pray faithfully and give sacrificially. Prayer that is informed and specific. Pray faithfully, give sacrificially to missions. Matthew 10, verse 8 says, the last part of the verse says, freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. Anybody here that hasn't received freely? Oh, my. I'll tell you, have a married couple, young married couple, married not too long, right? 2 weeks? Wow. My wife and I have been married 55 years. So, the Lord bless you. Got a great life ahead. But, you know, it just sacrifice for missionaries, sacrifice for God's servants. The reason I said that is I know they're moving into a mobile home over here somewhere where you guys have helped fix it up, and get everything taken care of and make it nice for them. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. They will appreciate it greatly. If they don't, boot them out of town, right? But they will, I'm sure. They will appreciate it. And but this ministering to one another, and especially to God's servants, to missionaries, be addicted to that ministry, great missionary. Freely you have received, freely give, God says. And then by direct encouragement, we only have, come to my watch, 2 or 3 minutes here. By direct encouragement, here's a suggestion. Have a like-minded missionary in your church at least once, at least every other month. I have no idea. I've never asked your pastor. It's not a criticism if you do or you don't. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. There are a lot of variables. But I think a goal should be for a missions-minded church is to try to schedule a like-minded missionary. And you have to screen missionaries today. You have to screen missionaries and mission boards. Just be very careful who you have come. But your pastor is very alert to all of that. So, number two, make the missionary conference the most exciting event of the church calendar and gear it to the nobody's hit it yet. Yeah, that's right, to the youth. Who said that? Oh, Alan. Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay. You're cheating, Alice. Okay, gear it to the youth. That's right. You guys are in Heartland. When I had a session up there at one time. Oh, that's right. Oh, that makes me awful nervous. Yeah. Okay. Gear it to the youth. Because, you know, the youth are the ones that we're trying to really stimulate and to give their lives for service and so forth. Gear it to the youth. If you gear it to the youth, everybody will get great. Then number three, have the missionaries in your home for overnight or a meal in order to expose your family and especially your children to them as in a more personal way. In a more personal way. That's important. Oh, how many missionaries there are on the field because missionaries came to, the parents opened their home to missionaries and missionaries came in and played with the kids and talked with them and they fell in love with the missionary and they thought, wow, I'd love to be a missionary. So have missionaries in your homes and minister to them and it will really expose your children to missionaries in a personal way. They'll get more out of that than they ever will, the little ones, the younger ones, than they ever will just having them at church, you see. Number four, keep yourself and your church on track spiritually. Now, that point there really could take all of our time. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, and 2 Corinthians 1, verse 11, and Amos 3, 3. You can look up those verses because our time is gone, but let me just emphasize that. Keep yourself and your church on track spiritually. You know, the sad thing is that missionaries come home from the field and they say sometimes, I've heard this more times than not, they say, Pastor, what is happening to our churches here? Our supporting churches, what's happening to them? The music that they have, the things they've allowed in the church, the whole atmosphere of the church. In the few years we've been away, 1, 2, 3, 4 years we've been away, what on earth has happened to our churches? And I've known, and so have you, missionaries come home and just tell a supporting church, look, please drop our support. We just don't want part of this. We don't want to be involved in the worldly, frothy, frivolous attitude of the ministry in these last years. What's happened to our churches? So keep yourself on track spiritually and keep the church on track. That's such a, and believe me, that's a tall order. That's a tall order. But God can do it. And if we stay in the Word of God and just preach God's Word and are loving and gracious and with our people and kind to them, and they will want to follow our leadership and your leadership and just stay on track. You know, it's not our place to criticize other ministries or anything, and we don't want to do that. But it's easy to see today that churches, once they head down that road, they find no good stopping point. And it just goes and goes and goes and goes until it just does, things just do not honor the Lord. So
I pray that those things would be helpful. These are some of the things that missionaries would like to say to you, but they never will and shouldn't, really. But they may be helpful, just giving me the opportunity to come and share them with you. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time together and for this dear church family and all those who are here. Lord, just help us, we pray, in each of these sessions to be challenged and to allow the Spirit of God to speak to us, to minister to us according to our need. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.